I never wrote a scenario down.
Okay, so for starting at the beginning of Chosh and Mishpat for us, and this is it's a new limud, so we'll have to kind of find our swing and our style and so on as we go along. So the things that I was hoping to focus on were the Vilna Gaon and the Ketzos and the Nesivos, because I thought those are just really the foundations of Lithuanian learning. I just think we'll get a lot of just insight into methodology, into the way they learn if we focus on them, as well as new understandings of the sugyas. So starting right at the very beginning, the tour, and I'm not going to read through, and I didn't photostat the whole tour for you. The tour gives a very beautiful introduction, which if you haven't looked at, you should. Just an introduction into Chosh and Mishpat. And one of the really important things that he says, because the first thing we're going to be dealing with is the idea of shlichusayu kaavdinen, the fact that what gives us the right to pasken halachas in Chosh and Mishpat today, we don't have smicha, and theoretically we shouldn't be able to have a din Torah at all, the Gemara says. And the only reason that we can is because shlichusayu the kamoyu kaavdinen, we're acting on behalf of the Dayonim of Eretz Yisrael in the time that there was smicha, that they gave us the authority to be done certain cases. So that's really where Chosh and Mishpat opens up, with which are the cases that we're even allowed to be done and which are the cases that we're not. And in doing so, we get quite a lot of the philosophy of Chosh and Mishpat right up at the beginning. So that, on the whole issue of Shlichusayu Kaavdinen, and the tour brings to the two pieces of Pirkei Avos. The one is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ashlosh Odvarim Olam Kayem. The world stands on three things: Al Adin, Vala Emes, Vala Shalom. And the other one, which seems to be a little bit contradictory in a sense, says that Bishvil Shlosh Odvarim Olam Nivra, that for three things the world was created: Al Torah VaAvodah VeGemilus Chasadim. So these seem to be two almost conflicting ma'amorim in Pirkei Avos, and he resolves it by saying there's a difference in understanding the purpose of creation, that for which the world was created, and what the world needs for its kiyum. So in the Bishvil Shlosh Advarim Ha'ilam Nivra, that's the Ribono Shel Olam created the world so that it would be a place to express Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim. Those things can't be expressed in the Olamos HaRuchnius. They can't be expressed in spiritual worlds. We need a physical world to put Torah, Gemilus Chasadim, and Avodah into practice. We need a physical world which he created, and that's why he created it. But to be Mekayim the world, now the question is, that means in a sense we could destroy this world. Although the Ribono Shel Olam created it for that, the fact that the Kiyum HaOlam is dependent on Al Adin Vala Emes Vala Shalom means that if we don't do Din, Emes, and Shalom, the world could theoretically cease to exist. And we saw some of that already at the time of the Mabul with Hamas, when the Ribono Shel Olam destroys the world because of matters of din. Were one of the big things that there was theft in everything, and theft penetrates everything. Chazal talk about the fact that if you've stolen something, and it infiltrates into all of your assets. That stolen asset isn't an identifiable piece necessarily, but it infiltrates into everything. So everything you've got is a bit of that stolen asset. And that destroys the world. So it's because of that, he says, that kol hadan din emes la misoy ki ilu nase shutuf la kadosh baruch b'maise bereshis. So if we're done din emes la misoy, we become like a shutuf to the Ribono Shel Olam b'maise bereshis, because we're mekayim the olam. So it doesn't mean that we're a shutuf in the brias olam, but we're a shutuf in the, since we are mekayim the olam, that kiyum, in a sense, is the shutvus. Oran's just texted me. I just want to tell him that we're on. Sorry, just a moment. Um, So once the B'dan Din Emes L'Amisa, you become a shooter for the Ribbono Shel Olam, now the question becomes, so who can do that? Where does that authority come from? Because now we're not no longer just dealing with a secular equivalent of dinim. So right up in the front, we deviate from any kind of secular understanding of law, and that's the flaw in trying to understand Choshen Mishpat and Gemara altogether, particularly in the areas of Nezikin, as some kind of a legal system. It's far more than a legal system. In addition to being a legal system, we're dealing with being a shooter for the Ribbono Shel Olam in Maaseh Bereishis. So there's a Bein Odom Lemokom going on all the time in the Maaseh of being done Din Emes L'Amisa, and the act of being done Din Emes L'Amisa is an incredible mitzvah. Apart from normal Limud HaTorah, it's this extra dimension altogether, and it's in that we really are Mekayim that shutfus. So the question now comes: where do we get the samchus from? Where does the Ribbono Shel Olam give us that authority to be a shutuf in Maaseh Bereishis? He gives that to us through the smicha, which he gave to Moshe and Yeshua, and so it went down. That's where the authority to be done din emes and thereby become a shutuf for the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes manifest. So then the question is, but now we don't have that smicha. So is there any connection, is there any line of contact between us and the authority of being a shooter for the Ribbono Shel Olam in Maaseh Bereishis through Dan Din Emes L'Amisa, and the method of connection is shlichus. So up until the time that the smicha ended, the method of connection was Rav L'Talmid, the smicha that was given, connected each person to his Rebbe and to his Rebbe's Rebbe and his Rebbe's Rebbe, Rebbe and so on, back to Yoshua and to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the But since that got broken off, we've got a different methodology now to link us back to them, which is the method of shlichus. And it's for that reason that Tosfos in Gittin is relevant, in Peches Amud Beis, because Tosfos makes the point there, at the end of Gittin.
Come on. And also.
And he says, "Bemilta de shchicha." So in the Gemara, you've got the case there that Abaye found Rav Yosef doing Maaseh Gittin, and then the Gemara says, "Omale anan shlichus sayuka avdine." We're doing this as shlichus. The authority for us to do this is from shlichus from the. From then, midi dehava haidos v'havos. In the same way as haidos v'havos, and we'll go into that quite carefully. But in the same way as we can be dan dine haidos v'havos today, even though we don't have smicha, so we can be dan gittin. So we won't go into gittin right now. But Tosfos says milta tishchicha kemoi b'haidos v'havos u'mash anu mekablim gerin afagav diger tzorik gimel munchin.
We've lost you for a moment.
Yes, same here.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Frozen up now. Can you hear me now? Hello? Technology is such a problem. Hello?
Maybe just the phone?
Yeah, I might have to. Hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear?
We lost you for a few minutes.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, so sorry about that. So I'm reading the Tosfos in Gittin Peches Amud Beis.
Yeah,
Bemilsa. So Kemoi Bodas Vavos, which is Shchicha, we'll get into Hodos Vavos. And then he says, what about Geirus? Why do we do Geirus in Chutz Lorot today? What gives us that authority? So he says, Afagav de Geir Tzorich Gimel Mumchim. Nevertheless, Oymeri Davdin and Shlichusai de Choshiv Kishchicha. And it seems that also he brings a riot that they were. Then he says, Ve'im Tema, that's the important part. Hechi Avdin and Shlichusai v'ho Achshav Ein Mumchim Be'etz Yisroel. U'mi Yitzen Lonu Rishus. No, I've lost them altogether. connection was lost.
Wait, there's now another one. Oh.
Is that better?
Abs.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Okay. We lost you again. We were in the middle of reading the Tosos and we lost you.
Yeah, I don't know why the technology is so poor today. You there? So the important part starts in the Tosef V'im Toyama. Heichi avdinan shlichusayu v'ho akshav ein mumchin be'etz Yisrael u'mi yiten lonu rishus. So you see from Tosfos that it's an ongoing need for rishus. Each generation, each dor, each Beis Din has to get rishus. Who are we getting rishus from? There's nobody in Eretz Yisrael either. Yesh loma tishlichus dekamoi kavdin. Says Tosfos, a new idea that the Tosfos introduces here, that the shlichus doesn't only have to be at the same time, that we can continue. They gave us a shlichus for all generations, and even though the meshalchim, the sholeach, is no longer in existence, our shlichus is not damaged. It's an interesting idea in shlichus, that shlichus can outlive the sholeach, and each new generation has the shlichus, even though the sholeach is not even alive anymore. And why this is important is because of the very opening of the Shulchan Aruch. So when the Shulchan Aruch opens up with its first phrase in Choshen Mishpat,
but Abs, is this only limited? Is this restricted to Milta the Shlicha?
Yes, because that's all they gave us. We'll see exactly what cases, but it's limited to the cases they gave us for Shlichus. Since it's Shlichus, we can only do the things they gave us authority to do.
So is it because they gave us only authority for Milta the Shlicha, or is it from our end? They gave us a general Shlichus, but we, for some reason, only carry out that Shlichus when it comes to Milta the Shlicha, because the wording seems to suggest that, no?
No, so we'll see in the Gemara in Bava Kama and Sanhedrin. We'll see in Bava Kama and Sanhedrin that it's the question is what they gave us Shlichus for. But let's hold that question. Is there something in the other cases that makes Shlichus impossible, or is it that they just didn't give us authority for that? But it's clear that we actually need specific authorities. We don't have the general right. If we had smicha, we could be done anything. But since our samchus comes from a din shlichus, we can only do that for which we were given shlichus. And the whole sugyas we're looking at the moment, Brian?
And the recipients in each door are defined in a certain way. I mean, how do can anyone step forward and be the recipient of that shlichus? Is that defined at all anywhere?
I don't think it is. It's hedyotis. At the end of the day, it's hedyotis. Yeah, you've got to know what you're doing, I guess. But I don't think it's actually defined anywhere. It's not mumchin. So the smicha that we have today is an artificial smicha. It's not a real smicha. It's just a symbolic smicha, really. So theoretically, any three hedyotas who know the halacha could, and they don't have negiyas, could be dayonim using the shlichus.
I'm assuming this is just it's not a real halachic shlichus. It's a conceptual concept that the earlier generation, the leadership of the earlier generations, empowered the leadership in later generations, but is it a real halachic shlichus that with all the
It seems to be. It might be a different geder. It might have different gedorim from the normal shlichus, because to give shliach across generations, how would you do that in other cases? But it does give a dimension. It shows a dimension of the power of shlichus, and we'll talk as we go along exactly what does that mean. But the main point of the fact that our samchus is shlichus means we can only do what they were mishaleach us to do. Our authority still comes from them. They're still holding the authority. And it means that when a Beis Din gives a psak, they're acting as the shlichim of Beis Din smuchim. So the Baalei Din need to know that also, that these aren't just three people that have got together. They're three people who are acting with the shlichus of the original smuchim. So they have it's a massive authority. They've got a really big authority in the sense it's restricted in that they can't be done anything, but it's huge in that they actually hold the samchus of the earlier people.
The Gemara talks within the context of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, where there was smicha time, and therefore the implication being that there was an maybe a potentially explicit shlichus, and the Ari here, the Tosfos in Gittin, who sort of seems to introduce this idea of a cross-generational shlichus is really an extension, which is deriving because of the way we behave today and the way we conduct ourselves. But the Gemara's original concept of shlichus was potentially much more explicit shlichus, because there were people in Eretz Yisrael who...
There were monkhim.
Gave explicit rishus, no?
So that, I don't know if they gave the explicit rishus or if it was a general thing. That's the chiddush of Tosfos, that the restriction of smicha had two boundaries. It was bound by time and it was bound by place. So initially the boundary of smicha was Eretz Yisroel, and smicha didn't go beyond that.
Yeah.
So you needed shlichus to cross that boundary.
Yeah.
Tosfos's chiddush is, in the same way, it's bound by time. So we don't have smuchim, and shlichus, the same as shlichus, can cross the geographic boundary. Shlichus can cross the time boundary. It's a really modern idea to say, well, if it can cross a place boundary, it can cross a time boundary too. And it would seem from Tosfos that it wasn't a shlichus that was actually given, that they sent a letter of shlichus or they did a kinyan shlichus or anything like that. It would seem that it wasn't that even in that time. Otherwise, Tosfos wouldn't have been able to draw the natural parallel. So it would seem that even in that time, it was an implied shlichus, not a stated one. Otherwise, how could Tosfos draw the parallel? There would be no comparison. So we've got to say, just as they gave a general shlichus to three hedyotas to do dinim outside of Eretz Yisrael, so they gave that shlichus to three hedyotas to do dinim in any situation where there are no smuchim available.
Is there another
answer? Tosfos doesn't bring a raya from the Gemara. He simply says, since we're Mekabel Gerim today, it must be that the definition of tzmichus can extend beyond from one generation to the next. Because the context of the Gemara is often, sometimes it says, well, Dayanim actually came from Eretz Yisrael and classified ashur as a mu'ad, you know. I'm obviously not an expert in all the sources, but the sources we've seen here all seem to talk about situations where there were, co-temporally, people in Eretz Yisrael, Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, who conveyed the authority. But I'm just wondering, where Tosfos seems to only come up with his pshat because that's how we conduct ourselves today.
Yeah,
bring a riot.
It's a great example of what we've often said, that the makor of halacha is what we do, not the other way around. Remember, we've talked about that often, and that was part of the objection to the Chazon Ish's methodology, that you don't create halacha from sources and then you do it. You see what the minhag is. What are people doing? That's the source of halacha. The mesorah is what people are doing. Then you've got to figure out how and why that came about to be. And in a sense, that's what the Biur Agro does in Shulchan Aruch, is say, that's okay, but you know, let's work backwards and figure out where does it actually come from. But what halacha is what our gedolim have done through the ages. So if we've been done a dinim, what is that samchus? So it says, since it applies to Geirus as well, which has implications of Doraisas, I think that's why that Geirus is really important. If it was just matters of Mominus, then you could say it's like arbitration. The two Baalei Din agree that these three people can judge, and it's a case of simple pshora, of simple arbitration. But we can't say that in Geirus. So since Geirus has implications of Doraisas, there are much bigger issues involved there, we've got to say that the Baalei Din who do Geirus have the samchus of the smuchim. Where do they get that from? So this is the only way to do it, is to say that the shlichus traverses time just as it traverses space.
Right. You've also mentioned that the Baalei Dinim accept their authority. So you do require today's generation and people to accept this concept.
No, that's only because we've got courts of law. If we were living in a Jewish society, we wouldn't need the people to. We could force it. It's not pshura. You don't need the people to. It's only because they've got an option to go to court. So as to avoid them going to court afterwards to overturn the Psak of a Beis Din, we make them sign an arbitration clause. But if there wasn't that, if we were living in a Jewish community that had its own, like it was in Europe at times in certain places, we could enforce it within our own communities. So it's much stronger than... It's as if we had smuchim, we're acting on the authority of the smuchim. So when the Shulchan Aruch, sorry, Yaakov.
No, I was just pointing out that the transition from the Hakdama of the Tour and this concept of a shlichus that goes from beyond the limitations of time is actually tied in directly to that fundamental principle that he established. Because if kol adam dina vet labito, kilu nasa shutaf lakadosh baruch hu maaseh bereshit, that means that to begin with, even the smuchim, to some degree, are carrying out the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maaseh Bereishis. And therefore, we see that already to begin with, this whole idea of being mekayim the olam through din crosses over from generation to generation. So the leap isn't as great as it would have been in another a field, for instance, of halacha, where we say that just cannot be done. Here we see that fundamentally the whole idea of being mekayim the olam through din does begin with the Bria, and we continue to do it as shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here too, we are extending that shlichus even beyond the smuchim generation.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're almost saying, in a sense, maybe smicha is midin shlichus. Maybe the whole idea of smicha is a kind of a shlichus. It seems more than a shlichus, but maybe it's a kind of a shlichus you're suggesting, if I understand you correctly, that just as each dor gets smicha from the previous dor, and that gives them authority, we didn't get smicha from the previous dors. We've got shlichus, which is maybe less of a form. Because when you get smicha, the difference is that when you get smicha, you are the authority. You're not doing it mikoach the earlier ones. You've been given your own authority. With shlichus, it's not your authority. You're simply acting as an agent. And the principle is the masmich. That's the real difference. So a Beis Din today acts as an agent, which, as I said, in one way restricts the Beis Din because you can only do the specific things for which you were given shlichus. And on the other hand, it empowers the Beis Din because they're acting on behalf of the principal, who are the smuchim from Eretz Yisrael from previous doros, which gives a Beis Din an enormous. When a Beis Din says, makes a psak, it's an enormously powerful psak even today. And
so we're both shluchim and shutfim as well.
And therefore, through our shlichus, we're mekayim the shutfis, yes. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch starts off and says, "Bizman hazeh, danim hadayonim dina yodos vavos," and so on. He doesn't make a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz. And that's that first Biur HaGro. If you look at the Biur HaGro in Sifkot Nalef, "Bizman hazeh, hu loshon hatur," and the Rosh in Perikama de Bovekama, Sifchof, it's quite interesting to see the Rosh there, because he doesn't say it specifically as the Tur does, but you can be medayik from the Rosh that he means that. And the Chiddush, yes, the Vilna Gaon is coming to tell you there is a Chiddush in the opening words of the Shulchan Aruch. Afilu be'etz Yisroel, kamoshi kosev tosef begitim peches amet beiz, dibra maske b'milta. It comes to tell you that today there is no geographic distinction between Eretz Yisroel and Chutz Loretz. And I think the Vilna Gaon is saying more than just Choshim Mishpat Dikadinim. It's important to understand that without the Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael in some areas has a din Chutz Loretz. So we don't get too carried away with Eretz Yisrael. Even Eretz Yisrael as we have it today, from Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, it has all the dinim of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have the dinim of Chutz Loretz. And from all the halachos atzilus ba'aretz, it has the din of Eretz Yisrael. But from our ability to be done, at least in that area, there's no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz. Even in Eretz Yisrael, we're merely acting b'shlichus harishonim, is the way the opening phrase. It's interesting that's how the Shulchan Aruch opens up. So let's go a little bit further into the tour. So that next piece of tour, which I did further stat, which is the piece that we're concerned about, where the tour says, "Umaskinan deloy avdinan shlichusayu, elo b'midi d'shchicho ve'isbei chisoran kis." So we'll go into those Gemaras quite carefully, but the conclusion of the Gemara, says the tour, is that we only do their shlichus in matters of that are shechiyah and there's chisorin kis. If we wouldn't judge it, there would be a loss. So the purpose of the judging is to reinstate a loss. We'll see here also Yaakov, the loshon of the tur, one just as midayik, and the loshon is a little bit like you wanted to say that we don't do the shlichus except in these cases. It doesn't say that we are not shlichim except in these cases. But let's see in the Gemara how that plays out. And then the tur does something which the Meforshim say he very seldom does, and he says perush. What is kegoyin hudos va'avos perush? What does hudos va'avos mean? And they point out that the tur seldom does that. And the tur says, Kegoyin, what is it, Perush? Sheturveya oyso be'edei hoido shehoido lo bifneihem, o shehilva lo bifneihem. It means that there are edim. We're not talking about a situation where there are not edim. We're talking where there, and we'll see why in a moment, we're talking where there are edim, and he either made a loan in front of edim, or he created a hischaivus in front of edim by means of a hoidah. So in front of two edim, he said, I owe Reuven $100. Whether he does or not, from that moment onwards, there's a hischaivus. He's created a hischaivus, and at that point he owns. Aval b'midi d'loy shchiyach, afilu isbeh chisorin kis, k'gon odem shechova b'chaveire, ein donin oisor. But if it's not shchiyach, like one, a human being, a person, assaulting another, there is chisorin kis there, but there's no, it's not shchiyach, so we don't do it. V'chein midi d'lesbeh chisorin kis, k'gon boishes. So boishes also, there's no chisorin kis, there was no tangible monetary loss involved. Afagav d'shchiyach, even though it is frequent that people are mevayish one another, ain't done in us, so we don't judge them. The Prisha says, if you can see the Prisha at the bottom of the right hand column, Perisha Tover is a be'edei hodo, hu adin nami beloy edim, says the Prisha, the tour is not specific, doesn't dafke have to be edim, ul'inyan shvuas heset. There can also be a place that where there's not edim. So he comes and he says, I lent you money. Reuven says to Shimon, I lent you money. I don't have edim, but I lent you money. And Shimon is either a kofer b'kol, he says, that's not true, I deny it, or he's a moedim b'miktzas, he says, you did lend me, but it was 50, it wasn't 100. In that case, there's a shvuas heses, so it's all we can do is a shvuas heses. And for that, it would also be, we can do that today. But when this takona was made, there wasn't yet a heses, which is why he doesn't bring it in. The origin of all that are the two rashis, the one in Sanhedrin and then the one in Bovakana. So let's have a quick look at the two rashis and the sugyas. So if we look at, first at Sanhedrin, Daf Beis Amud Beis. So the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin says Dine Momenes Bishlosha. So Dine Momenes need three. Gezelus Bechavolus Bishlosha and Gezelus Bechavolus need three. Says the Gemara on Amud Beis, Atu Gezelus Bechavolus Lav Dine Momenes need. We've just said you need three for Dine Momenes. Why does the Mishnah go on to say Gezelus Bechavolus Bishlosha? That's all. That's Dine Momenes. It comes to limit what we mean by dinei momenes. Not all dinei momenes, but specifically gzeilus v'chavolus. Aval hoidos v'halvos loy. But not hoidos v'halvos. So Rashi says on that, Hoidos v'havos, Shnehen al iske milve. Hoidos, we're talking about loans. Hoidos shebo lodun be'ede hoido, shemevi edim sho'imlim befaneno hoideloi, halvos shebo lodun be'ede halvos shemeidim befaneno hilvohu, v'hala kofe b'shtehen. So we're dealing about halvos cases, because the reason that they gave us the shlichus, the Gemara says, we'll see that inside still, The reason they gave us the shlichus is kedei shelo tinul delus bifnei lovin. That's why they allowed us to do this, so as to encourage people to do business with each other and to be malveh to one another. If you couldn't claim money in a beis din, it would be very difficult. People wouldn't lend. So kedei shelo tinul delus bifnei lovin, they gave us the shlichus to do this. And says Rashi, so this is all talking about halvos, where it says hidos halvos, they're both in yonei halvos. That's why the principle of shelo tinul delus applies. So the Lashon works. The istim of
Rashi. It's a separate from Chisron Kis.
This does not come into Chisron Kis yet at all. This is
so
just
we need
saying,
another justification.
This is just at this point, all we know is Hodos Vavos is an exception, and the reason given in the Gemara is Shelo Tinul Delis Bifnei Lovin. Chisron Kis comes in Bovakam. The Ista Mefashi Hodos Shemoidi Bemitzas Halvos Shekofer Akol. And some say it's talking about not Edim; it's just a Moidi Bemitzas and a Kofer Bekol. The Rishon Ikir. And Rashi prefers the first one. We're going to establish the reason is because of Nilus Delis Bifnei Lavin. If you're going to say it's Moide Bemiktas and Kofir Bekol, then it should say Hodos and Kofira. Because that's what it's really about. If it says hoidos v'halvos, it's much more likely that we're talking where there are edim. So just let's bear in mind, Rashi's brought two perushim. The tur brings one, and the prisha says lav dafke. He doesn't mean to exclude the other. It's just that the takon of Shavuos Heses wasn't at that time, but the tur does not exclude Rashi's second perush. Which means, according to the Prisha, we don't really know why the Tur even says anything at all. Why he doesn't just say Hodos Vavos, and assume that we know that from the Gemara. But the really important thing that we're going to focus on is the Gemara in Bava Kamma Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Because I think that a lot of the machlokes, including some of the machlokes that we're going to find in the Ketzos and others revolve around pshatting this piece of Gemara. So it starts on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph at the bottom. I didn't include that in the photo stat. It's just a line or two, where the Gemara is trying to figure out why Nizke Odom we don't dan, if a person damages another person or his property, we're not dan, but if a shor is mazik, we are dan. And the Gemara says, if it's because it says Elohim in the posuk, Elohim bo'in and veleka, we need proper dayonim and we don't have Elomai right at the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Elomai shno shor b'shor, shor ba'odom d'shlichusay ko'av dinen midi dehavi yados v'alvos. So then shor b'shor, we do shlichusay. Why can't we do shlichus for odom as well? Odom ba'odom v'odom b'shor nami shlichusay ko'av dinen. We know already from Hidos Valvos that there's an idea of Shlichus Ayukavdin. They've given us, and the Gemara seems to figure at this time, that the Shlichus was a blanket Shlichus. They've given us general Shlichus. Just as they allow us to do Hidos Valvos, why not allow us to do it all? Answers the Gemara, no, it wasn't a blanket Shlichus. So here's where we get the idea that the Shlichus was specific. Kiko Avdin and Shlichus Ayu, B'midi de kimlan begave, and again here, I've never thought of what you raised, Yaakov. That is it we who don't go there, although we have the shlichus, or did they not give us the shlichus for it? So says the Gemara. But whatever the case is, it's restricted. Ki ko avdin and shlichusayu b'midi de kimlan begave. If it's the amounts are clear and you don't have to do a shuma, then we do shlichusayu, then the shlichusayu ka'avdinen. But if we have to start working out, evaluate him as an eved, how much people would be paid without, with and without that, we don't do. Amri shor b'shor v'shor b'olam nami lo kimlan begave, ela puk chazi hechem izdavne ture b'shuka, odom ba'odom b'shor nami puk chazi hechem izdavne avdi b'shuka. we see that in any case we're going to have to get into that evaluation. But then what about kefil and arba v'chamisha? There's no shuma. That's a clear amount. Now there's a further modification. So the Gemara is going through several modifications to get to the essence of when we do shlichus sayur. So the Gemara here comes for the first time and says, we do the shlichus by momen, but not by knas. So this is going to be very, very important. So the Gemara goes on, Odom ba'onodim ba'mayinu hunavit shlichus sayur. So what about Odom ba'odim? A person does nezek to another human being. That's momen, that's not knas. There are knossos involved, but the basic nezek is momen. So now the Gemara adds, Kiko avdin shlichus sayur b'milta tishchichi, Odom ba'odim delu shchichi lo avdin shlichus sayur. So now we get the idea of shchichi. Ask the Gemara, Harei boishis the shchiach navit shlichus sayur, so boishis the shliach. Omri hachinami, so Rav Popa agbi arba meo zuzi leboishes. So you see, we do claim boishes. Rav Popa was goive boishes in Chutzlorets. Says the Gemara, but the holeso le Rav Popa, but Rav Popa was chastised for that. The sholach le Rav Chiste le Rav Nachman, the sholach le Chiste, can also come agbis bebovel. There was an objection to raising boishes in Bovel. Answers the Gemara, elo. So this elo is important. What is the Gemara being chozer from? From everything it said before, or just from the immediate thing it said before? Elo ki avdinan shlichusayu b'milta d'shchiche ve'ispei chisorin kis. So there need to be two conditions, shchiche and chisorin kis, which are both present in hodos v'havos. So if we go to hodos v'havos and we say, what's the essence of hodos v'havos? Yes, the reason they did it to shalotin olderes b'fnei lavin. But what do you define as hodos v'avos? Does it just mean hodos v'avos? Says the Gemara, no. It means anything which is shchiach and doesn't have chisor and kis. So we've expanded hodos v'avos with a framework, with boundaries. But this elo is what we're really going to concentrate on. Aval milti de shchiach v'les pei chisor and kis, inami milti de lo shchiach v'itz pei chisor and kis, lo yavdinen shlichus sayur. And here's the nafkimina. Are we saying there are two things? Firstly, we don't do knas. We only do momen. And which momen do we do? We only do momen, which is shchiach and itzbei chisor and kis. Or do we say, it's not about whether it's knas or momen. The essence of it is whether itzbei chisor and kis and shchiach. Now, it so happens that knas, usually, I think in all cases, there's no chisor and kis. That's what knas is. So why does the Gemara even have to come? Why doesn't it just say knas plus chisor and kis? So is the Gemara saying the essence is not, and I'm not even looking for nafkiminas yet, I'm just looking for what is the matir. Is the matir that it's momen rather than knas? Or is the matir that it's shchiach and itbei chisor and kis? Because that will give us the whole philosophy of why we condemn these cases in Chutzlorets. And I think we're going to see differences in the Noisei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch around this, as to how to learn the Ela. Yeah. Does Ela mean there's only one criterion, or only two criteria? Chisor and kis and shchiach. Forget about knas. Or does the Ela hold, no, knas is the one thing. If it's knas, we don't do it. Finished. Now within the set of momen, we only do the subset, which is shchiach and ispei chisor and kis. But in the event that there is momen, which is not shchiach, or there is not chisor and kis, even though it's not knas, we won't do it. So those are the two possibilities of learning the Gemara that I want to touch on. But what's interesting is Rashi here only brings the one parish. Midi Dehavi Odos Vavos, the third or fourth thin line of Rashi. The Omar Beferi Kama de Sanhedrin. De Loi Bo Inen Mumchin Sheloi Tinel Deles Bifnei Lavin. Hoidos Habo Lidun Be'edei Hoidos She'omru Befaneinu Hoidelo Vavos She'bo Lidun Be'edei Avo She'omrim Befaneinu Hilvolo. So he only brings the case of Edim here, as does the two. So why has Rashi dropped the other one? Is it just because Rashi in Sanhedrin said, I prefer the first one, so he didn't bother to bring the second one? What I want us to think about is there might be something else going on here. In Sanhedrin, all we talk about in Sanhedrin is Shelo Tinel Delis Bifnei Lovin. Shelo Tinel Delis Bifnei Lovin, both Rashi's Perushim work. if it's kofer bekol and moedei b'miktzes, or whether it's halva b'fnei edim and hoidah b'fnei edim, all of those cases can be classified under shilotin or delis b'fnei lavi. But in Bava Kamma, there's no mention of shilotin or delis b'fnei lavi. In Bava Kamma, the mention is shchiach v'itbei chisoron kis. So I want to suggest something a little radical. That if you lend somebody money without edim, then judging that case, it does not entail chisoron kis. Because you didn't have edim, you've already given up any chance of getting it back. Chisoron kis means that if you don't do this, you've lost something. So if Reuven lends Shimon $100 in front of edim, then Reuven assumes he can always get that $100 back. If Shimon then denies it, if we don't get involved, Reuven loses the $100, which he always knew he could get back, because he has edim. But if Reuven gave Shimon money without edim, then he knew he wouldn't be able to get it back. There's a chance he wouldn't be able to get it back. So it's not our not judging that causes the chisoron kis. The chisoron kis was that he didn't use edim. He was goyim his own chisoron kis. So if, and that would be a case of where even though it's mominous, we don't get involved, possibly. So what I'm suggesting is that in Bava Kamma, where the whole thing revolves around chisoron kis, there's only one of the two perishim of Rashi that works, which is the first one. And that's why the tur, if you now look at the loshon of the tur, he says, u'maskinen d'lo yavdinen shlichusayu elo b'midi yishchichi v'ispe chisoron kis. He doesn't say in all cases of mominous. He says only in cases of momen where there's shchiach in chisoron kis. Kegoin hoidos vavos perush. And what hoidos vavos are we talking about? Where they were edim. Because if they weren't edim, there's no chisoron kis. Is what I want to suggest.
So now we have to explain the prisha.
Yes, the prisha doesn't learn that way. The prisha certainly doesn't think that you know, in both cases, this chisoron kis, I guess, for whatever reason.
The fellow lending the money wasn't relying on the idea of a shvua?
He wasn't relying on that through a shvua. So that's going to be the big issue, and that's what the Ktzos gets involved in the Nesivos. Can we be mechayev a shvua's heses?
Without
mumchim. And just to give... to give you the heads up, because we won't have time to get into the Ktzos and the Nesivos yet, but as a framework for understanding the Ktzos and the Nesivos, I think there are two worldviews here between the Ktzos and the Nesivos in how they reason this out, and that is, what is the limitation of our Dayonim in Chutz Loretz? Is it that we don't have the ability or the authority to clarify the facts in cases outside of where we've been given shlichus? Or is it we can clarify the facts, we're as clever as they are, we're as smart as the earlier ones were, we just don't have the authority to enforce? So I think as you learn the Ktzos and the Sivas, bear that in mind, it will be easier to understand what they're being cholek about. Is our chisoron that we can't get to the emes? Or is our chisoron just that we can't enforce, even if we can get to the emes? And I think that those two will help clarify it. I just want to see. Because the chisoron gives another reason altogether. I've suggested a reason why the two only brings the one perish of Rashi. And I haven't seen that reason anywhere else. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody say that, which makes it a bit suspicious. And the Ktzos gives another reason altogether. The Ktzos goes the other way around, not to say that we wouldn't get involved if there were no Edim. He says if there were no Edim, we could get involved even without the Shlichus. We don't even need the Shlichus for that, so to say. It's something we could do in any case. There's no nafkimina there, whether we've got the Shlichus or we don't have the Shlichus. So the Ktzos and the Nesivos both go on the question of why the Tur brings this specific Perush for Hidos Valvos. And they each give, and the Ktzos gives a different reason. What's interesting
you're
is...
You're saying they...
Yeah?
They both agree, though, that there's some limitation or weakness to today's Dayanim by saying that it works as Shlichus of Kamoi. Maybe somebody says they have the full authority. Why do we assume that there's a weakness according to either way? Either it's
we're only talking in the areas that we cannot be done. Not that there's a weakness in the areas where we can be done. In the areas where we cannot be done, is the reason because we're not trusted to get to the truth? Or is the reason because they didn't authorize us to enforce it? That we don't have enough authority, enough moral authority to enforce? Is it an enforcement issue or is it a biru issue? And I think that underlies the machlokes tzos and the sivis. What I would like you to notice also in the Shulchan Aruch is the Be'er HaGoyla, where the Be'er HaGoyla quotes the Sma. In Sifkot and Beis, so on this thing of Zman Azeh Danim Dinei Hodos V'Halvois Uksuvas Ishun, so he says Ken Kosov Tzeis V'Sham B'Sanhedrin V'Shar Peskin V'Kosov Asma V'Hu Adin L'Sha'ar Inyonim Gedolim U'Chomoshi Kosov Aran V'Veis Yosef V'Lucham and Siv Dalit. Sorry, go with Aleph. Go with Sifkot and Aleph. May uvde da abaye da ashkechel Rav Yosef in Gittin, umi maschonas ha-gemor in Bovakame, us the Sanhedrin, peiru shimeidim shebefaneno hoidoloi, vahalvoi shimeidim befaneno hilvoloi, vuhu adin beloi eidim leinyin shvuas heses. So the Be'er HaGoyla clearly goes like the Prisha. And what's interesting is the Vilna Gaon doesn't say anything. The Vilna Gaon is almost it's not a parish on the Be'er. The Be'er HaGoyla was the Vilna Gaon's grandfather. And you've got to learn the Vilna Gaon together with the Be'er HaGoyla, because often he disagrees with the Be'er HaGoyla, he disagrees what the Mocker is, and it's almost as if he only comments when he has something to say different from the Be'er HaGoyla. And here he doesn't say anything. So I'm assuming that the Vilna Gaon learns like the Sma of the Prisha, that the two is not allowed.
Who did the Rav say the Prisha was?
Who the Prisha? The Prisha is the Sma.
Who is the Prisha?
The Prisha is the Sma. The Sma, the Miris and Ayim, and the Prisha and the Drisha is all the same person. And what's important is the Sma writes, or I don't remember if it was in the Hagdoma to the Prisha or to the Sma. It's clear from what he writes in the Hagdoma that he sees Tur Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch as one work, which is why he writes the Prisha and the Drisha and the Sma as part of that. To understand Sma, you've almost got to learn Prisha and Drisha. It's one sefer. He takes Tur Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch and he writes Prisha, Drisha, and Sma as one body of work. The Vilna Gaon, I'm convinced, sees the Shulchan Aruch as nothing to do with the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch, according to the Vilna Gaon, is not a summary of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is a parish on Tur, and Shulchan Aruch is a Sefer Halacha. And that's why the Vilna Gaon will often bring Makoros for the Shulchan Aruch against the Beis Yosef himself. Because I think that he holds that the Beis Yosef is a parish on Tur. It's not the foundation of the Shulchan Aruch. So there's a difference in the way the Sma learns, and we'll see that many times. There's a difference in the way the Sma understands Shulchan Aruch because he sees it in the context of Tur Beis Yosef, and the Vilna Gaon treats Shulchan Aruch as an independent body of information. But in this particular case, it so happens that since the Vilna Gaon is in Cholik with the Be'er HaGoyla, I think the Vilna Gaon holds the same way as the Sma. And as much as we found, by the way, the Ktzos hates the Shach, remember all the times, that consistently, whenever the Ktzos would quote the Shach, he would kind of destroy him. He actually likes the Sma quite a lot. And so does the Vilna Gaon. So there's quite a lot of authority there. But for whatever the case, the Be'er HaGoyla clearly learns like the Sma, like the Prisha and Drisha. The Vilna Gaon is not Mo'er anything, so it seems to be as he goes that way too. The Ktzos does not. The Ktzos says there's a specific reason why the two gives only the one parish and not the second. And the Nesivus disagrees with the Ktzos HaKoshen. So we'll see the whole round as to what it is that the Machlokes revolves around. But it's all about explaining why the Tur only mentions that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't explain what we mean by Hodos Vavos. That's why there's this whole tumult. The Shulchan Aruch just says Hodos Vavos. Is he saying it because it means all cases of Hodos Vavos? Or is he saying it in the same vein as the Tur? And I think that's why the preacher had to say it on the Tur, because the Sma sees the Shulchan Aruch as a summary, as growing out of the Tur in the Beis Yosef. And the Tur specifically gives one parish and not the other. Yet in Shulchan Aruch, he just says Hodos Vavos as a blanket statement. He doesn't give the parish. So I think that's the Sma is being mefarish. The reason the Shulchan Aruch doesn't give detail is because even in the Tur, it's not detailed. Although he gives the one side, it's not because that's the only one. It's all cases of Hodos Vavos. Anywhere where there's a possibility of being Noel Delis Bifnei Lovin is included in this Din of Shlichusei Kav Din. There are no exclusions according to the Sma.
And the Sma ends his parish by saying Ayin Bepresha. Why didn't he? I mean, which did he write first?
I think the Bepresha. I think he wrote the Bepresha. I think he wrote the Bepresha and Bepresha first. Yeah. So he says Loshon Atur Perish Utaveh Oso Be'Edei Hodo Shehodo LeBifneim or Shehuvo LeBifneim Ad Kan Uhu Adinim Tavo Ba'Avo Belo Yidin Nunchvos. This is Ayin Bepresha.
Why doesn't he just spell out what he wrote in the Prisha? Well, it's the same thing. Sorry, it's identical.
It's the same thing, and remember, he sees it all as one work. So he's saying that here is the reason the Shulchan Aruch only says Hodos Vavos is because it covers all Hodos Vavos. You'll say, but the two is specific and only gives the first parish of Rashi. Says the Sma, it's Lav Davke. But it's not just the first parish, it's everything. And the Beir HaGoyle goes with that. But the Ksus does not.
And it was the It was the Taz that mentioned the uniqueness of the Tur writing the explanation.
Yes, that's right. There are others I saw too, but the Taz is one of them who says we're going to those vavos. Hutzrach Rabin Lavi Perze Apagav Den Darke Lavi Perish Al Divrei Gemara Kim Shish Nafkimina Ledina Lefi Shish Kan Perish Acher Dahein De Beloi Ha Edus De Tavei Oso Bal Per Vuhu De Mixas Vahein De Odos So Shikoy Fer Akol Ainu Avos. Rashi may be pay reserve at Dachos in Mitzad Aloshin. The Nere Poshit to Meus on Yeshoimim, she may be Rashi, Avos who Kofra Kol, etc. And he concludes by saying, Avarabenu Nishma Shaloi Tite be Emes the Farish Kane, Al Kofra Kol below Edim, Ulin in Hesses be in a Munchim the Dovashim the Rabbonim, Gam Bishaduk the Lezer, he be a Perush, Shaloi Dos for Avos Shenu Kedere Ze. So the Taz says it's Dafka. So we've got a machlokes Taz and Sma.
Right.
And that's what we'll go into in the Ksus HaChoshen and the series.
Wonderful.
Okay, sorry we had a bumpy start.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
But so how far have you?